Well, I would also like to wish you all a happy Mother's Day. Not everybody is a mother, but everybody certainly has a mother. I love my mother. Man, my mom put up with so much stuff from me when I was growing up. There must be a special plaque or somewhere in heaven for all that she tolerated from me. But she just loved on me and loved on me and loved on me. Thank you, Gus. Appreciate that, brother. Boy, that is a special gift from God to be able to just love in the face of adversity. In fact, we have a cartoon similar to that effect. Here is why you should treat your mom well on Mother's Day. You see the weary mom there, probably 3:30 in the morning, saying, "Someday, when I'm very old and you're all grown up, I'm going to sit on your lap, soil my pants, and scream in your face all night long." So, I know from this weekend there are a couple ladies who that is very close to their heart. But if we treat them well, we'll see what the future holds, man. Moms get all the hard work, you know, particularly stay-at-home moms, man. They got to clean up all this stuff, and the kids mess it up as soon as it's clean. They have to clean it multiple times. They have to discipline and be the disciplinarian, you know, lay down the law, keep things in order. Dads, man, they come home, and they just get to play with the kids, you know. It's easy for dads, you know. Unless you're like Wolverine or something, you know, I think we have a picture of him too. Yeah, there he is on the beach playing with his daughter, you know, and all she does is throw a little bit of sand on him, and the next thing you know, out come the claws. They took this right before they came out. I couldn't show you the other photos. It's just not pretty. It's a mess. Moms have it tough though. But I tell you what, talking about playing with your kids, man, I love to play with my kids. Of course, my girls are too old to play with now. They would just be like creeped out if I did that. But I love to play with my grandkids. You know, I had Hannah on my feet the other day. I told her to step on my feet. You ever done that? And they just hold on to them and you walk while they walk with their feet on your feet. She just thought that was absolutely hysterical. And, you know, that's the thing about kids is you can do silly stuff with them. Stuff that adults are just, you know, oh, it's just silliness. To kids, they love that. That's rich, man. That's treasure. Man, mom or dad is spending time with me and we're just acting goofy. There is nothing like it in the world for a kid. My little grandson, Paul, who's finally walking around now, got to take him out to the doctor's office the other day while his brother was in the doctor seeing the doctor. Him and I got to have adventures out in the waiting room. And I don't know what the receptionists were saying by the time we left, but we just had a good old time. We were sitting there, you know, they had a little TV up there with Sesame Street on it. We were making fun of all the characters. They had some, and you can do that with Sesame Street. They had some children's books down there, and I was reading him the stories, and of course I read them differently than what the original author had in there. But he didn't know. He just thought it was great. You know, he thought, hey, this is great. Pop's reading to me. And then I made him fly all around the room. I didn't like toss him or anything like that. I held on to him the whole time. Well, I tossed him a little bit. They had a big mirror in the waiting room of the doctor's office, and so I go down underneath the mirror and I toss him up in the air so that when he came in front of the mirror, he was completely by himself in midair, and he just was laughing and laughing and laughing. And then I did that in front of the receptionist, and you know, she didn't say anything, but oh well. Kids love that. It may seem silly to us, but to kids, it's a treasure. Now, recently, I was at a conference, and I was standing there with some people who had been worshiping God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength for about 2 hours. And you know what? They just got a little bit silly. As they were filled with the glory and the love of God, they were just swaying back and forth, and then they started smiling and laughing, and before long they were kind of falling on each other, and the glory of God just filled that place, and they became intoxicated in the spirit. They were drunk with love, with the love of God, just enjoying His presence. And that was as I was watching them in that holy silliness, it occurred to me that this may be one way in which our God plays with His children. You know, it was a little undignified. It wasn't pretentious, but it was a little bit undignified. Just like David said, I will be undignified that way and even more so, because God is worthy of it. And His love is unpretentious. It's real. It's not a show. And none of these people were doing this to draw attention to themselves or put on a show or anything like that. They were just loving on the presence of God and enjoying Him. Praise God. And it doesn't mean that God isn't to be reverenced. Absolutely, God is to be reverenced. God is a holy God. He is pure and righteous without compromise. It doesn't mean God isn't to be feared. There is a holy awe that we should have of God. And in fact, as His presence begins to fill a place, you will find people just in trembling before Him, on their faces before God, not because they're supposed to, but because you couldn't imagine being anywhere else as the glory of God begins to draw near, as we draw near to Him and He draws near to us. So it doesn't mean that we're flippant or anything like that with God. We reverence Him, we love Him, we worship Him. But what it does mean is this, that because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in us and upon us, we're not only saved from hell, but we can have joyful, intimate fellowship with the God of the universe. How mind-blowing is that? That because of the blood of Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit inside of us, we can literally climb up on our daddy's lap and just enjoy His countenance. We can, in the spirit, in a way, get down on the carpet just like I used to do with my little girls sometimes and we'd play Barbies with them, you know, because that meant the world to them. I had no desire. Barbies don't do anything for me. But when I saw the joy that it gave to them, it was thrilling to me. And the things that occupy our lives and our minds and our concerns, you know, we think of the God of the universe. We think, what interest could God possibly have in my life? But because you're you and because He is who He is, He is overjoyed to condescend and come down on our level and just be daddy to us. That's what that word means in the New Testament, where they refer to God as Abba. It's not like father. It means daddy. Daddy. If you've never been able to call your father daddy, if you've never been able to just feel that heartfelt embrace from Him. I remember when my dad used to come home from work, and I know I've said this many times, and me and my sister would run up to Him, and He would snatch us up in His arms, and He would hold us tight, and I'd feel the stubble of His 5 o'clock shadow against my cheek, man, and He seemed so strong, and I seemed so little, and it was just so thrilling to me. Man, Dad was here. That's how God wants to relate to us. As our daddy, as our father, and all the things that are related to that, but especially as our daddy. That joy of fellowship comes from the gospel. That can never come from dead religion. And I've been in plenty of churches in my life where it was dead religion. They had the form but not the substance. They had the form but not the power. They had the framework and the structure, but not the reality, not the stuff, not the glorious presence of God that the gospel brings. And that's the difference between the gospel and dead religion. When I talk about the gospel, let me just define this for a second. When I talk about the gospel, I mean the fact that Jesus Christ came down, God became human flesh, put on human flesh, lived a sinless life and died and suffered on that cross for the sole purpose of paying the penalty for our sins. The wages of sin is death. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what He was doing on that cross, taking your punishment for you. And the third day He rose again to prove that it's true and to conquer death. That's the gospel. God offers us the free gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ because of what Christ did for us. That's the gospel. It means the good news. Now, by religion, I mean sort of a more modern sense of that. Back in the 1700s, they said religion meant a walk of devotion with God. But in recent times, it's come to more mean that sense of form without substance. All the outward trappings of trying to be good, trying to look good, trying to obey, but not having any inward transformation, not being born again by the power of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what I mean by religion. The gospel of Jesus Christ brings man into a relationship of joy and fellowship with God as his daddy. Religion, simply trying to conform our outward behavior without any power to do that, just brings people into bondage. It's just an outward confirmation. Sometimes it's just mindless ritual trying to cover up our sins, but it doesn't give us the power to live for God.